from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All I do is come in, be myself, be where I'm supposed to be. The play is gonna make itself. All I gotta do is just be in the moment. Cause I'm not Gabe, I'm not Steph, I'm just Keon. We got a lot of other guys that definitely compliment my game, and we compliment each other's game along with Josh to make things work.
Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman. I'm not Gabe, I'm not Steph, I'm Keon. That'll hit home. It's the right message, I think, for him to be sharing at the moment. Coleman's personality, of course, has shined through since he's been drafted. And we'll see what we're going to get. I'm looking forward to seeing nobody more at training camp than him. And we're 13 days away from that. We did put a poll up on who will lead the Bills wide receivers. So no tight ends. I think a lot of people would answer Kincaid if we said everybody. Who would lead the Bills receivers and catches this year? And Sal and I both said Samuel would be our bet. And Josh put a Twitter poll up. And the four options he put up were Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, and then the field. Like anyone else. I mean, I don't really consider it very possible. Like, who would that even be from the field? Mac Hollins.
MVS.
MVS. I mean, I guess Claypool, right, would be... Someone voting the field might think Claypool's the most likely just because of the... Is he the boom or bust guy for them right now? Where if he's on the field, like, hey, man, maybe it's great.
Okay, Joe.
But
if at the end of the year, Chase Claypool, you look up at the stats and he led the Buffalo Bills in wide receivers,
it would be insane.
It's either one of two things. Either, holy cow, what a resurrection project. Give Brandon Bean executive of the year right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, holy cow, the group was not good. I cannot believe they did this.
Yeah.
Like, it would be one of those two things.
I think it would have to be the first one. I think it would, I mean, how bad could it really go? You know, like, it could be bad. I'm not saying it could look like last year at times where it felt like they were constipated as an offense and they couldn't move the ball and guys weren't running open. They found Shakir, their way to him a little bit midway through the season. I just mentioned he was first in the NFL in yards per target once Joe Brady took over, so that got going. Also, James Cook got going, if you want him too out of the backfield. But man, if Claypool's out there, to me, actually, you know what? If Claypool has led them in catches, I feel like the starting point there is that Keon Coleman hasn't given them what they want. Isn't that the way Claypool gets on the field? Is that Coleman is more raw than they maybe thought, or he's more raw than, you know, fans thought, and he's not on the field all the time?
See, that's the question. If Chase Claypool leads this team, how about this? I don't think he leads the team. Here's the question. If Chase Claypool has more catches than Keon Coleman this year, is it because of Chase Claypool or is it because of Keon Coleman?
That's it's a tough question to answer, right? Like, I don't know what to expect from either one. I mean, I feel like I know to expect Claypool like to be open to maybe there's a resurrection here, but most likely Claypool is what he's been for the last couple of years, which is someone that has trouble getting on the field, that was very, very unproductive in Chicago. And even in Pittsburgh, there were signs at the end that, you know, he wasn't as deserving of all the targets he was getting. But there's an athlete there. There's a big person that can run fast and can jump really high in the air. Coleman, though, I feel like it would have to be more of Coleman isn't performing. Because they're going to give Coleman every benefit of the doubt, I think. I know he's a rookie and second-round pick, although first pick of the second round, so, you know, you'll hear basically a first. We get it. Coleman is the investment. Coleman is part of the plan. Claypool is, hey, we'll see. You know, maybe he makes the team, maybe he doesn't, maybe he gives us something. Like, there's really no downside to Claypool. They're going to want Coleman to work. So if he is showing them signs that he can perform out there, I don't know how many snaps are available then for Claypool to show and to be someone that has more catches than a Keon Coleman. Because I don't think Samuel is ever leaving the field. Or at least, like, he's a regular. Like, he might not play 100% of the snaps, but you know Samuel is going to be a regular part of their offense. You know, I think I know that Shakir is going to be a regular part of their offense. So if you want consistent snaps at the wide receiver position, I feel like you kind of have to beat out Keon Coleman. And I don't know that you're going to have the opportunity to do that if your name's Chase Claypool or Mac Hollins or Valdez-Scantling, unless Coleman is just looking really, really raw and not ready for the league.
Right. Yeah, I see, this whole conversation goes back to something we talked about earlier this week, which is he is a rookie. I don't know how much to expect to place on him, right? Like, I know that you want him to hit right away. He's got to be a big part of your offense. The Bills have said he's got to be a big part of the offense. I understand that. How much is too much to expect, right? Like, he's already, I feel like it's almost, and this includes his press conference, his aura, you know, just the kind of the viral video and the attention he's got, the trade with the Chiefs, how the Bills went about it. This all goes into this, Joe, which is, at some point, there's got to be a point of you say, look, I mean, that's just too unrealistic. What is that point? What is that's too unrealistic to expect from him this year. He is a rookie after all, right?
Right.
And I don't know where that point is, but that's going to happen with some people, regardless of the season he has. Unless he has this monster all-pro season, Pro Bowl, like, then anybody in their right mind is going to say, oh my God, he exceeded expectations. I don't expect that. But at what point does it get to where we're going to have a lot of the fan base going, hey, it's a Gabe Davis point, right? You're going to have a lot of the fan base going, hey, that's pretty good. I'll take that. And you're going to have other fans going, no. Second pick, first round, or first pick of the second round. Sorry, he needed to be better than that.
Yeah.
There's going to be a point of that. I don't know what that tipping point is.
His over-under on the sport at the sports books, FanDuel, his over-under is 725 yards, 4.5 touchdowns. Is that enough? He has 720, he hits the over there, 726 yards and 5 touchdowns. Are fans going to feel like that's enough from him to be happy?
That's a really, really good question. I think that should be enough as a rookie in this offense. Now, what's going to happen, though, is if that, like, leads the team, let's say, he'll get his flowers. People will say, okay, that's really good. I'm getting my anger and frustration out of other people. That's fine. But if that's, you know, I think it might depend on what happens with the rest of the field, the rest of the team, and the rest of the stats. That feels like where he should land to me. Those are good numbers to have, the over-unders. I think I'd be okay with that. I don't know how much more you can truly want to place on him than that.
I wonder if that sounds low to people when it comes to the touchdowns, right? Like, I would take 725 yards from him in a heartbeat. Like, that is... Last year, you want some of their numbers from last year for context. Dalton Kincaid had 673 yards, so it would be more than Kincaid had as a rookie. Shakir had 611. He didn't play a lot in the first month of the year, but that also could be similar to Coleman. That we'll see about that in camp and preseason, if we're building up to that, or if it looks like he'll play right away. You know, like the year Gabe Davis last year had 746 yards, so it would be about as much as anyone else had a year ago. And if you go back, like if I'm going year to year here, really it's Davis numbers. It would be pretty similar to him having a Davis season, but doing it as a rookie, and that I think would leave people feeling pretty good about it. I wonder though if touchdowns is a little low there, because his biggest skill walking into the league, I heard Bulldog make this point yesterday, which I kind of liked, that his biggest issue, it sounds like, coming out of college right now, is his ability to separate. That there's some route running stuff there, and there's some, you know, leverage angles, how you kind of contort your body that needs some cleaning up when he's running routes, and that he had a lot of trouble with that at Florida State. And it's why that's probably his biggest concern coming into the league. So, okay, he's raw, right? He's big athlete, you know, the gauntlet drill speed that we saw. You'd like to think the 40 time can be overcome there when it comes to athleticism, that, okay, this guy can get better at that stuff. This guy can take steps along the way in his career to become maybe not a Diggs-level route runner, but a good route runner when combined with the athleticism and the ability to high point a ball and catch it. Okay, now we're talking about a great wide receiver in the NFL. But is it fair to him to expect that year one, with the combine and with the draft process, it's a busier offseason for these guys than they normally will get from every year after? Is it fair to expect him to have cleaned up his biggest weakness this offseason? He walked out of college as a player that had trouble separating. Should I expect him to walk in the league better at separating? Or is that something that comes more year two, year three, when you got a full offseason to just dive all the way in on that type?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Stuff.
I think it's too much to expect right away out of the gate. I think he can improve as the year goes on. You'd like to see that. Like, is he going to walk right in and just be this new player? Come on. I mean, what are you asking there, right? I mean, like, come into the league, there's a learning curve. These are the best athletes and people at their positions in the world.
And that's why, right?
You're going against.
Just to add it into that. That's why I never even got to the point. I kind of expect, okay, we're going to use your strengths more in year one. We'll work on the weaknesses as we go. You're right to point out that could get better as the season goes on. So I'm thinking touchdowns for him. Like, that's the thing he doesn't have to work on, is you got a contested catch or we're in the red zone and we got tight space down there. We've got to throw the ball to someone we know is going to come down with it. And who's that guy? Like, that's the thing Keon Coleman is great at. So I would think you rely on the strengths of the rookie more because you just haven't had as much time to clean up the weaknesses. So to me, like, 4.5 touchdowns, like, that's the number I'd want to see be higher. Like, I don't mind if he only has 500, 600 yards this year even. But seven, eight touchdowns? Like, I don't think that's unreasonable to think he could have this year.
Be nice. I'd like that. That's not unreasonable. It's actually good. Yes. 8 touchdowns, you said?
Eight touchdowns. I think that's I don't know if I want to call it an expectation. I might want to say like 6 or 7 at least, though. Like, I would go over on that touchdown number that the books have, and I would go under probably on the yards and the receptions, just because.
Dude, 8 touchdowns is what Stephon Diggs had to lead the team last year.
Right, right. I guess
Diggs had 11 the year before. The next best was Gabe Davis at 7.
Yeah, I guess we could get into the weeds on this too while we're on it. Like, what is their red zone game plan going to look like? Like, their Allen head. Josh Allen had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. I don't know how many of those were from the one. I'm sure a good chunk of them. Maybe not like more than 4 or 5, though.
Yeah, so I was on a San Diego radio station, actually, the other morning.
Okay.
And they asked me, inevitably, we go on these radio stations around the country, Joe, we get asked about the Bills.
Yep.
What's one question you always get asked? How much will Josh Allen do? Are they going to back off him, tell him not to run as much? It's just always the thing that's talked about, right?
Yep.
It's kind of the low-hanging fruit to ask any Bills observer, Bills analyst, about Josh Allen running the ball, right, and where he is in that part of his career, no doubt. And that's okay. I'm not criticizing that question because I think it's fair and it's valid, but it always gets asked. And my answer to them was, look, they tried a little bit to rein Josh Allen in last year. It kind of didn't work. And when it did happen, he made some decisions you don't want him to make. Like, you'd rather see him run. Remember the first Monday night game, right? Run the ball. Don't throw the ball in the harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that happened. Brandon Bean said recently, and I think it was the Ty Dunn piece that he sat down with Brandon Bean. Mm-hmm. At Go Long TD, by the way. Really nice job that Ty did there. I think Brandon Bean had said, if I remember right, something like, we want him to be Josh Allen and do what he does. I feel like this year, and this is my answer to the San Diego question when I was on with them, I said, I think you're going to see him be even like more emboldened to be what he needs to be and wants to be as a runner. It's just they need him to be smart. And that's the thing they've always preached to him. Be smart. You don't have to leap over guys in the second quarter of a week 4 game, right? But man, you get down to crunch time, you need those yards. Hey, we understand. What I did also say, though, was, however, I feel like he's not going to be the runner in the red zone or goal line that we've seen, because that's why they've kind of gone to, hey, we need to get a guy like Ray Davis. They had Leonard Fournette last year that they didn't necessarily get to, but they've wanted to have that kind of guy. Damian Harris winds up getting hurt, right? I feel like they've wanted to, and maybe this year they'll maybe get to it where we don't need to rely on Josh down in the red zone and the goal line area as much, because there's a lot of bodies down there and it's really compact. Yes, we can, and he's really good at it, but maybe that's where the running and the touchdowns get taken away a little bit.
Okay. And last year, 15, I just looked this up, 15 touchdowns last year. 6 of them were from the 1 yard line.
Right.
So
now if you're at the 1, I think it's a little different than the 3 or the 4 or the 5. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
If you're at the 1, you're doing the tush push, the Bills version of it, whatever it is. I think that's a little different.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when you're in the red zone,
right,
and running the ball, when you're in those shorter, compact areas, but you still have a little ways to go for a touchdown.
Yeah. They actually specifically here on Stathead show too where it was. So one of those from the 1 says Allen went around the right tackle. So that might have been a scramble. And then all the other ones, though, like that's like 9 or 10 touchdowns that they were in the red zone. And like, he against Philly, he scored from 11 out. Against Tampa, he scored from 12 out. Miami, 10. Washington, 10. Mm-hmm. Philly, 9. Denver, 6. Kansas City, 6. Like, there are a lot of plays here. There are a lot of scores where
those are scrambles. Or, yeah, those are scrambles, right?
Like, yes, I think so.
I So he's deciding in those moments, I have to take off and run here.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think you can ever take that away from Josh, right? You're not going to, you don't want to take that out of him. He has to do that. He has to do that. And I don't think they want to do that this year. I don't know. I mean, how many times did they actually even call running plays for him last year? Maybe it was a lot less, I guess. Didn't we talk about that? That was the funny thing. And I brought this up with the San Diego station. I said, believe it or not, I said, here, everybody talks about he shouldn't run so much. He shouldn't run so much. We were screaming for him to run more in Buffalo through the first 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, it changed, right? Like, didn't it?
Yes.
For some people. Like, for me, I never needed to see him stop running because I've always been locked into a position of, I just don't get why people think running is so much more vulnerable for the quarterback when we have so many studies that show that the injury rate is not higher, and I don't even think logically it makes sense, because the point I always make is, how is he safer standing in the middle of 9 300-pound people that could fall at any moment in any which direction than one-on-one with a 180-pound cornerback, or a linebacker even, if you want to make it that. So I never needed to see him stop running in the first place, but I bet, if I remember this right, that even those that thought, okay, we need to take some off his plate, we don't want to see him get hit as much, so let's kind of cool it on the running, that once the season really got rolling and they looked the way they did and he wasn't running the ball, I think there was a notion of, okay, well, we got to bring that back. Like, they miss that. They need it. They need it more than maybe you want them to need it, but they need it. And they eventually did do it. I remember the Tampa game thinking they, you know, I don't know what they did, but they're acting like they heard everybody's complaints, because that first drive against the Bucs on Thursday Night Football last year, they had not called, I think, maybe a single design run all year. I'm looking it up now. And that game, they maybe called like three on the first drive for Josh Allen. They walked down the field and scored. Here it is. Last year, Pro Football Focus, scrambles versus designed runs. He had, through the first 7 weeks of the season, he had 3 designed runs and like 20 scrambles. And on the season, he had 111 scrambles and 50 designed runs. So, I mean, okay, so they started going on it a little bit as the season went on. But I feel like that's probably down from where you might think it normally would be. So Allen running, yeah, like we started on Coleman here in like the red zone.
Right.
Red zone, though,
well,
like there's so many options, right? Like Allen running is probably your best play, but Coleman with the jump balls and Kincaid, I think we think is a red zone target too, don't we?
Yeah, I think you to answer your question, what does red zone football look like for the Bills? I think we're going to see both Kincaid and Knox on the field more, and I think Claypool's on the field, and now you have options, and you can do different things both schematically and have different options to throw to.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. That poll, by the way, that Josh put up at WGR, 49% think Shakir is going to lead their wide receivers and targets this year. Samuel after that at 27%. The field at 13 is above Coleman at 10. I don't know about that one. I can't. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I don't know how Coleman would just, to me, have to not look right at all for someone else, MVS, Claypool, to get up there. Maybe it's not as ridiculous as I'm making it sound, but Coleman right now is in last on this poll, at least, with 600 votes so far. 803-0550 is the phone number if you've got a thought on this. Couple of other things to get to when we come back. We've got Alexa Ross coming up at 8 o'clock. I want to make a correction on the Uruguay-Colombia like fan-player brawl yesterday. There's a very defendable reason why the Uruguay players went in the crowd last night. So we won't do too much on that, but just quick note on that when we come back. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.